That was the monster hit Hold On from En Vogue. It was the first of a string of chart-topping songs from the girl group that made its debut with the 1990 album Born to Sing. En Vogue went on to sell millions of records, earned 7 Grammy nominations, and developed devoted fans around the world. They were standouts in a crowd of groups that defined soul music in the 1990s, from the women of Brownstone, Escape, and TLC, to the guys of Jodeci, Drew Hill, and Boyz II Men. But as the decade ended, so did the popularity of many of these musical acts, and today such groups have largely faded from the R&B charts. So what happened to those sweet harmonies, and can R&B groups climb back to the top of the charts ever again? Joining us to talk about that is Okoto Oforiatta. She is an assistant editor for TheRoot.com, and she wrote about the disappearance of R&B groups for the site. She joins us now from NPR's New York Bureau. Nice to have you.
Nice being here.
A moment ago, we were listening to En Vogue, and I understand that a recent concert from that group inspired you to write this story. So tell us, what happened?
Well, yeah, you know, I went to a concert they had in D.C. at Dar Constitution Hall, and when I was sitting in the audience, I was looking out there, and I realized, wow, this doesn't exist anymore. There are no R&B groups that are currently on the pop charts, and there was something very nostalgic about the moment. There was something even a little dated about what I was watching, so I wanted to explore it further.
So what happened? You know, what happened to these groups?
Well, I think there are a lot of things that happen. There are a lot of factors that come in. First off, the record industry is completely changed, and it really boils down to simple math. It's so much less expensive to market or bring to market a solo artist than it is to bring a group to market. I mean, if you're talking hair and makeup for Beyonce, it's one thing. But if you're talking hair and makeup for Beyonce, Kelly, and Michelle, that triples the cost of that. You're tripling the cost of airfare, travel, hotel, and the MP3 just made it impossible for record industries to make the kind of profits they were making in the 90s. So groups just became less and less desirable for them.
You know, but the audience, you know, that was Destiny's Child you were talking about with regard to Beyonce. Mm-hmm. The audience doesn't want this anymore?
Well, I think it was a convergence of the record industry and a change in our attitudes. I mean, in the late 90s, we saw a lot of boy bands flourishing to the extent that some might even consider it was nauseating. So that might have led to some fatigue around the idea of an actual group. And then additionally, with the advent of social networking and social media, there's been a lot of audiences like individuality. They like the individual. We're more me-focused and me-centered. And it's difficult to see how a group can fit into that framework. You know, like a solo artist, there's never been another point in history where they've been able to interact with their audiences the way they can now on Twitter and on Facebook.
Absolutely.
And it's tough to envision a Boyz II Men interacting, you know, on Twitter as an entity in the same way that, Rihanna can.
That's a good point that you make. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Tony Cox. We're talking about the future, if there is one, for R&B music groups. Our guest is Okoto Oforiatta. She wrote about that for the online journal The Root. Let's hear another song. This is the 1995 hit Waterfalls from the group TLC. That was Waterfalls, and it was a number one hit for TLC. Now, their breakout album was Crazy, Sexy, Cool, and that title symbolized the roles that the three members played in crafting the band's image. A moment ago, we were talking about Destiny's Child and Beyonce obviously arguably the most successful star to build a solo career after leading an R&B group. Is it inevitable, do you think, that one member of a successful group will always be planning a getaway? And does that give these groups an expiration date before they even get going?
Well, you know, it's an interesting catch-22 there, because first off, in speaking with Shanti Das, who was a 20-year music veteran and worked with Motown for several years, she had mentioned to me that quite often record labels look for a leader before they signed a group. So in order for labels to feel comfortable in signing a group, they felt like there should be a leader, someone who can kind of keep all the ducks in a row. And at the same time, that same person would often become the person who broke out in pursuit of a solo career. So I think that record labels intentionally or unintentionally groom the breakout star for inevitable solo success.
Here's another group. This is Belle Biv DeVoe, the song Poison. You know, a lot of the acts that were part of the last wave of big R&B groups shared something with soul groups of Motown, the old days. They were packaged. I mean, they had dance moves, their clothes, their onstage personas, everything carefully crafted. That's gone too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely gone. And, you know, without R&B groups, I think the one thing that R&B is really missing is the harmony, is the sort of the grand spectacle that comes along with hearing four people or five people, you know, sing together and sing harmony. It's long been a staple of R&B, back to doo-wop groups into the 70s, into the 80s, into the 90s. So, you know, nowadays what we have is, you know, people harmonizing with themselves. If you listen to Beyonce's new album, she has her voice singing two or three different octaves on the same verse.
Yeah, overdubbing her own material.
Exactly.
For sure.
So that's definitely missing.
Boyz II Men, they're coming out with a new album in several weeks, and it makes me wonder, is there a group out there that you think can bring this style of music back?
Well, I think first the audience needs to be prepared. The audience needs to be ready for, or they need to want groups back in the market. Secondly, when I was doing my research, I came across a group called Amir. You know, they have phenomenal success on YouTube. What they do is they cover very current pop songs. It's an all-male quartet.
There was a time I thought that you did everything right. No lies, no wrong. Girl, I must have been out of my mind. So when I think of the time that I almost loved you, you showed your soul and I saw the real you. Thank God she blew it. Thank God you dodged a bullet. Get over her, you know I'm just looking up.
And, I mean, this is a group of very talented guys. In speaking with their manager, they've also had some difficulties, you know, getting signed to major labels. But the talent is there, and that's not the question. And in speaking with them, one of them mentioned to me that they're just waiting their turn. They know that, you know, things cycle in and out of pop music, and that once groups become popular again, that they're going to slide right on in there. So, I mean, I do think there's hope. If we look in history, even with the auto-tune. I mean, auto-tune, Teddy Riley had popularized that in the early 90s, and it disappeared, and then it became huge in the last 4 or 5 years. So there's a very cyclical nature to pop music. Things always go away and reemerge. So there's definitely an option.
It may come back. I'm going to put you on the spot, okay?
Okay.
All right. The greatest R&B group of all time is?
All time. I mean, I think there's some people who are in close running for that. I think that if we were going to talk 90s, Boyz II Men and TLC probably are neck and neck. If we're talking all time, I think we got to go a little further back and think about Temptations, Jackson 5, OJ's, But yeah, I don't think there's one person who can get that title.
You said, I'm not going there. I'm not going to put myself out there like that.
They were all good.
They were good. You picked some good ones.
Yeah.
Hopefully the music will come back because it was great music then. It can be great music again. Akoto Afuriata is an assistant editor for TheRoot.com, joining us from NPR's New York Bureau. Akoto, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Bridget DeShegas, Arjun Hutchins, Eamon Malone, Sanaz Meshkinpour, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, Amy Ta, Sarah Ventry, Saran Yitbarik, and Malik Washington. Our editor is Alicia Montgomery. She had a hand this week from Lori Grant. Our director is Monica Evstatieva. Our senior producer is Davar Ardalan. Our technical director is Brian Jarbo. The theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The senior supervising editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. The executive producer, Tashima Walker. To tell us more, please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at TellMeMoreNPR. I'm Tony Cox, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.